This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to it. The Gardening Show is live, taking your calls. And I'm Igor, with me as always, the Master Gardener, Bob Harris. And good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Igor.
And I see we have some things to show.
All right. Yes. We do.
You brought a little bit of flower action here today.
Yeah. So
we'll get to that in a little bit, I'm sure.
Okay.
What would you like to talk about today?
I mentioned with the first show some of the reading I had done through the winter, which I always read a few gardening books. A book called Darwin's Most Wonderful Plants, and it's by Ken Thompson. And in this book, he talks a lot about what Darwin did, not just the origin of species. He wrote one book on the origin of species. He wrote six more books on plants. So I want to tell you a little bit about some of the things that he did. He was quite an experimenter. And he would spend a great deal of time experimenting with the plants. And one thing that has always fascinated me is twining plants. Not like English ivy that has like suction cup grips that can climb right up a wall, or plants that creep along the ground. I'm talking about twining that will twine up a structure, but only a structure of a certain size. Some of the experiments that he did, he saw that 90% of all twining plants, those ones that will twist and grow up a pole, always go in a right-handed fashion. That would be from the lower left to the upper right. So they always twine in that direction.
Well, how would they know to do that?
That's a good question. And if you try to make them go the other way, from lower right to upper left, you will stunt their growth.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, sometimes some of those plants will just stop growing for quite a long time, totally. But by letting them go their natural way, or helping them, if you need to, always go from left up to a right position. And keep in mind that most of those twining plants don't want to twine up a large structure. He did a lot of experiments with different size sticks and plants that twine up on them, and found that once you get to a 6-inch diameter, most of those plants won't twine up that structure. They want 2 or 3 inch post to twine up. So if you're building a trellis, you know, keep that in mind. Of course, there are those few that can twine the other way. He really never got a chance to experiment with a lot of those because they're in far-off countries. Like, I'll say the wisteria. The Chinese wisteria wants to twine the opposite way, from lower right to upper left. But the Japanese wisteria, the bordering country, likes to follow the lower left to upper right twining process. So, of course, that really fascinated him, why some plants do the opposite.
What would be the benefit? What's the purpose?
No one knows, you know, and he did these experiments way back in the 1860s, and scientists still can't discover what the...
what the benefit is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, weird.
It
That's
sure
just,
is.
Just what they like. I've said it before, I'll say it again. These plants, they have brains, and they're going to take over the world one day. They're going to conquer us.
You know, and a lot of scientists really think that, you know, that they do have some kind of intelligence because of all the things they can do. They can smell, they can taste, they can move, they can hear, they can see, they send messages. You know, all that's been proven by science. But how and why has not been proven yet, but there are ongoing experiments. But it's also fascinating to me that a man in the 1860s could discover all this, and we really haven't been able to further his information yet today.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. So they only like to grow from left to right.
Yes.
And if you reverse it, they don't like it.
They don't like it, and it can even stop their growth.
Stop
totally.
Them right in their tracks.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
Until they can change it themselves.
Well, maybe Ivy is like, you know, a grumpy old man. You know, sometimes they just like what they like in there. You know, you better not change it. That's the way I like it.
So I did bring some plants in today.
Great. Our stream is finally started here.
Yeah.
So we are on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. So if you'd like to take a look at what Bob brought in, go ahead. You could put it a little bit closer to the camera. And
yeah.
That looks quite colorful today.
Well, know. I'll move them up as I go.
Okay.
Everybody's going to start their planting season, or with Mother's Day, they already started. And number one usually is the geranium. Now, I brought in a red geranium that come in other colors too, white, orange, coral, salmon, and even a lavender. So the geranium is a great annual. The annual is a plant that only survives for 1 year, one growing season, and then it dies off as soon as late fall or early winter begins, and then does not come back. The ones that come back year after year are perennials, but all these right here I'm going to talk about are the annuals. So the geranium, a great plant to have in your garden because it'll bloom well all through the growing season. It's just a great plant. Another one I brought in is petunia. And they're going to come in a lot of different colors. The geranium is an upright grower. The petunia can be a cascading. It can creep across the ground, or it can hang down in a pot or hanging basket. So it's kind of neat that way. And, of course, it always blooms very, very well. The more sun, the more blooms. You can still grow petunia in partial shade. Just you won't get as many blooms, but you still will get blooms. So petunia is a great one. And it's a great pollinator plant. That's becoming more and more important to people. A lot of the pollinators love the petunia, especially like hummingbirds and moths that have the long tongue that can get to the nectar. And that's what the pollinators are really after, is the nectar. And the pollen is secondary, that they'll get pollen on them and carry to the next plant. So that's the petunia, a great, great annual. Easy to grow, sun to part shade, but the more sun, the more blooms. Another
beautiful.
And I'll bring,
I really like that one, the purple one, because of the two-tone that it has.
It is
that
beautiful.
Dark in the middle. Yeah, I love that.
Petunias come in a lot of colors, too.
Yeah.
Even from yellow, blue, red, white, some of these multicolored ones, even speckled ones. Petunias come in a lot of different colors, so they can fit any situation. Another real good old-fashioned annual is the marigold. These are upright grower. They'll bloom all summer. The more sun, the more blooms. The better the soil and fertilizer and all that, the more blooms too. That's another great one for the garden. Another good old-fashioned one, and one of my favorites here, is called alyssum. Usually highly scented, lots of tiny, very tiny blossoms on it. And they'll attract a lot of the smaller pollinators because the blossoms and the nectar is so in such a small area. What I like about it is it attracts the pollinators that are beneficial to us, not just the honeybees and bumblebees. These are the very small bees, the ones that don't sting you, even if you see them around there. Mm-hmm. They're probably only less than a quarter inch long and less than an eighth inch wide. These real small bees, they almost look like flies or gnats flying around. But if you see a little bit of color or metallic look to them, they're a beneficial bee. And what they do is attack other insects and keep your yard clean of other insects. So it's good to encourage those.
I never knew their importance. My mom used to call them sweat bees.
Yeah, that's another name for them.
Mm.
They don't build nests with big colonies. They're usually singular. And a lot of them will even just build a small nest in the ground and hatch out their one or two eggs there. And their population can be extremely important because of them attacking the bad bugs.
Wow. Okay.
They're a good bug. And like I say, they don't sting. You can handle them even. Or if they tried to sting, their stinger is so small, they can't penetrate into our skin very far.
I never knew that.
So they're a neat one. So I always try to grow some alyssum in the garden to help attract that pollinator.
And it smells good to us too, not just them.
Yes. And another one, real good plant to grow is the wax leaf begonia. And it comes in a green leaf like this, or it'll come in a darker leaf, almost a real dark burgundy type leaf. And this plant will grow in a wet area or a dry area, in full sun, or it'll grow in a shade. So it's a real versatile plant.
Wax leaf. I see why they call it that, because
yeah.
It almost looks like one of those fake plant leaf.
It does,
because
yeah.
it's kind of shiny and reflective and a little bit. Yeah.
Now, this one's not blooming real well yet, but they normally do send up a lot of blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
Another great, great plant to have in your garden.
Another variety of colors?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Not a whole lot.
Because I see that one's pink.
Yeah, pink or reddish. Mm-hmm. They also come in a light pink and a white. That's just about all the colors they come in. That's the wax leaf begonia, a real great garden annual. And for today, the last one I have. In the weeks to come, I'll be bringing in more plants to talk about. This is the impatient. Now, this one really does enjoy a bit of shade, but can grow in the sun also, given enough moisture in that soil. So if you're going to grow impatience in full sun, I would recommend adding some compost or peat moss that holds the water in place for a much longer time, because you'll see these have real, real fleshy stems. So they can dry out quite quickly through evaporation, not only from the leaf, but even from the stem. So they can dry out and wilt. Now, most of the time, if they're not too badly wilted and you water them, they'll come right back. So don't be too concerned. But this is a great plant to have around. As a matter of fact, I like to recommend the impatient that when you plant a new plant, a tree or a shrub, plant some impatience with it. And if when you come home, you view your plant and you see the impatiens are wilted, it's telling you that your shrub is probably getting close to needing some water too. So it's a good indicator plant of when to water that newly planted tree or shrub.
That's a great idea.
That can be really handy. So again, whenever you buy a new tree or shrub and plant it, at least get one pack of impatiens to plant underneath it to give you that time of when it's time to water.
Yeah, that's great. Great advice. Indicator plant.
Yes. Because a lot of people have a problem when they put in a new plant, new tree or shrub, or even a perennial. They think that they got to water it every day. Well, you can drown the plant quicker than you can cause it to dry out and die. So a nice indicator plant with that newly planted plant is pretty important, and I think should be used.
Great.
These come in a lot of different colors.
And inexpensive?
Very inexpensive, yes. Extremely inexpensive. Some of the colors, white, pink, orange, this here color here. What do we want to call that?
It's more like a...
It's violet.
A violet?
Yeah, violet.
Violet, pink.
They'll come in a dark blue and a purple. It goes on and on. There's a lot of colors. No yellow, though. No yellow in patient.
Or like if you're a creative person at Crayola, you'd call that like morning dew.
Okay, yeah.
Some kind of abstract, like that's not a color.
So that's a great, great annual. And again, annuals are those plants that only last one season. And they're always very inexpensive. So to dress up your yard and to really teach yourself more about watering and so on, annuals are a great idea. One of the secrets to annuals, and this is going out to a lot of people that bought the Mother's Day hanging basket or potted plant, fertilizer.
Mm.
The annuals grow fast. They spend their whole life in the fast lane.
That's right. They're only here, here for a long time, here for a good time.
Right. And they like to bloom a lot. And blooming takes a lot of energy. And how you can supply that energy is fertilizing them. Now, there's a lot of different ways to fertilize. There are dry, granular-type fertilizers that you can sprinkle around the soil. So every time it rains or waters, a little bit of it dissolves and goes down into the root system. And then the plant can get its needs, its food needs. Most people like to use the liquid or soluble or dissolvable fertilizer, that blue crystal stuff that you put in your watering can, mix it up, it dissolves, and then you can fertilize, water the plant and fertilize at the same time.
What are the benefits of either? The only benefit to the second one is that you're watering it at the same time?
Mostly it's just a preference. By using the dry granulars, you apply it once for 2 to 3 month period. And hopefully it rains or you water. And again, it dissolves and gets down to the root system. By doing the dissolvable type, the blue ones, every time you water, which will be often, as the summer gets drier and hotter, you're supplying it immediately. As a matter of fact, even the soluble ones, that blue water, when you even sprinkle it on the leaves can absorb that food, that fertilizer, immediately. So you keep your plant healthy and growing much stronger and blooming much better.
So that might be a little bit more of a benefit to get it right away growing.
Yes.
Rather than wait.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think of it like maybe Popeye eating his spinach right away. Like right away.
Yeah.
You feel it.
That's exactly how that soluble fertilizer goes. And there's a lot of name brands. I better not name any, but you get a little measuring spoon in there. So many scoops per gallon. Let's say it's 2 scoops per gallon of water. And once a week is a good fertilizer program. But for those that really want their plant to grow quickly, I recommend fertilizing it every time you water, but half the strength of the fertilizer, or even less than half the strength, so that you don't forget, well, it's time to give them a fertilization. So if you mix up some fertilizer, do 1 scoop instead of 2 scoops, then every time you water, you'll be fertilizing your plant. Most of these annuals, it's very difficult to over-fertilize them, especially a plant like the petunia. It grows very, very rapidly and is a what we call a heavy feeder, so it's almost impossible to over-fertilize them. So the more you fertilize them, the better it's going to perform for you.
Great. Hey, we'll take a short break here and talk more about that and maybe some other topics as well. And remember, if you have any questions, doesn't matter if we're talking about it or not, hey, give us a phone call and we will answer, hopefully, not we. By we, I mean the Master Gardener, Bob. I don't know anything. But 368-9372, 814-368-WESB. We'll take your questions. And we're on Facebook Live, too. You can drop a comment there or email us, garden@WESB.com. Back in 30 seconds.
Spring has sprung. Time to get your gardening underway with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Start with their big selection of garden seeds and fertilizers to grow all your favorite vegetables and flowers. Build attractive planting beds and landscape edging with railroad ties from Worth Smith. Dress it up with the popular black pearl mulch and add bags of landscape stone and pavers to finish it off. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. It's time to get started. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And back with more gardening show on B107.5 FM. And thanks for bringing in those all the different plants today.
Yep, you bet.
And some great knowledge you dropped on us again. And hopefully we'll be able to retain that. I know I sometimes I have to listen again. And by the way, we do put these on demand, I should mention.
Yes.
At WESB.com. So after the show, if you wanted to hear again what the name of the plants were and their care and some tips, always there for you.
Again, I really want to stress the fact that to be successful with an annual, fertilizing is going to be important and watering. A lot of people will try to get on a schedule and say, well, I'll just go out and water my hanging basket every morning so I know it has enough water. That can be a mistake because, again, you'll hear me say it, you know, we can overwater a plant just as easy and sometimes easier than underwatering. Try to learn how to either, if it's in a pot, lift it and you can judge a wet plant by it'll be heavy. If it's dry, it'll be very light. Or put your finger in the soil, that cool, damp soil on your finger, you'll be able to tell right away. If it's dry, of course, you'll be able to feel that. The soil can even become warm and dry. And look at your finger. If a lot of soil's sticking to it and dark soil, then it's probably damp. And that's another one, too, just visually looking. Wet soil looks like black coffee. Dry soil looks like coffee with cream in it. Try to use all those keys to judge whether you need to water it or not. If your plant does become extremely dry, and most of them can be saved, even though they're dry and wilted down, a good heavy watering till it drips out the bottom of the pot is a good idea. And then sometimes we have to come back and water a second or third time, because sometimes when that soil gets really dry, it's hard to absorb the moisture, so the moisture just passes through it quickly, and the plant doesn't get the benefit it should. So if it does get real dry, remember to water it, wait a little while, check it again. Maybe you water it a second or third time till that soil can absorb all the moisture.
Tell you, my lawn, it's like the worst of both. It's either swampy, squishy, never dries out, or it's so dry that it actually has like cracks
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
So how do you fix the cracks?
You just got to water again.
It's just water,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. As the soil dries out, it shrinks. And so cracks appear. As you wet it, then it starts to swell up and the cracks disappear.
You'd think it would steal from the other part of the lawn that has too much.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, water can only migrate so far.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Water's not smart like plants.
Yep. So, again, I stress, try not to overwater and try not to underwater. There is a happy medium, and as you garden, you'll learn that. So don't put yourself on a schedule by going out there and watering that pot every morning just because you think it needs water, because possibly it got rain or heavy dew or it didn't drink that much that day, because they do have their growth spurts where they'll consume a lot of water for a while, and then the plant will have to take a rest because all of these are going to be blooming a lot. But once in a while, they have to take a little rest and get strong again through fertilizing, and then they can start to rebloom again. So don't be concerned there, too, if you got your petunia with 50 blossoms on it for a while, and then all of a sudden there's only 20 blossoms. Well, maybe it needs a fertilizer, or maybe it's in a little rest period if you've been keeping up with the fertilizing and watering well. So just be patient, because it will strengthen up and then start to put out some more blossoms again.
Be patient with your impatience.
Yeah.
Right. All right. And with that, we wrap up another episode of The Gardening Show.
Good.
Thank you so much for coming in. I can't wait to see you again next week.
Well, thanks.
And hopefully we'll get some phone calls and emails and stuff, because that's half the fun of the show.
Darn right it is.
Right. So we will see you again next week right here at 8:30 Saturday morning on B107.5 FM. And again, always on demand at WESB.com. Have a great weekend, Bob.
Thanks.